Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pilot's Wife podcast. This is Amy McLaren. This episode, I'm going to be talking about rebuilding trust. So this is about, you know, a cut and dried betrayal of one person to the other in a relationship, resulting in a lack of trust. So it's this is not necessarily talking about, you know, where both people are hurting each other, resulting in a relationship breakdown. And I encourage you to also look back at that problem-solving episode that I did a few episodes back, because that might be more applicable for that situation. But I get these requests for help with marriage relationships and couple relationships coming in every day, and there's sort of like three or four, and that's just in the North Island of New Zealand. And so it's quite a thing at the moment, and pretty much all of them say that, you know, because they say what they need help with, and pretty much all of them mention rebuilding trust as one of the things they need help with. So I think it's a pretty major deal. So I wanted to just talk about that in this episode, and I've put in a little calming backing track because this is quite a tough topic to talk about, and I think it's quite a tough topic to hear what I guess what the strategies are for rebuilding trust. And so bit of background music just to chill and help make this episode a little bit more entertaining to listen to. But I encourage you, even if you are not concerned at the moment with rebuilding trust, like, I think if you listen to it, you'll understand, I guess, some likenesses to even just sort of smaller things that go on in your relationship that you can still use these strategies for. And in fact, I've even, you know, over the time of writing kind of the notes for this episode, I've been applying them even just, you know, just in things that have happened in the last couple of days. So definitely some useful things to learn about.
So here's the question. For those of us who don't have a picture-perfect relationship, who don't put our highlights reel on social media and pretend it's all rosy, where can I get some down-to-earth inspiration without any religious barriers? Who can give me real-life encouragement, help me be a better spouse, and tell me how to get an even more enriching relationship without becoming a doormat? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Amy McLaren, and this is the Pilot's Wife podcast.
To begin with, and I know this, mistrust is like an anchor tied around the neck of your relationship. It's going to drown it. It is such a debilitating thing to have between a couple in a marriage relationship, because trust between each other gives you both such freedom to say what you need to say and achieve the goals that you strive for, and to learn and to grow. When we start a new relationship, we're lucky because we start with an assumed trust. Like, we start with, you know, full credit, full trust. Like, when you're falling in love with somebody, you start off with trusting them, right? And then trust is something that always starts, you know, like, with full credit, and over time, with repeatedly consistent behavior, it gets eroded. And so, but if you can't trust someone, you can't give them your heart, because, you know, it's such a risk that your heart will be broken and stamped on. So if you sense a risk to trust, it is really hard to want to leave your heart with them. And so it strangles relationships. And I know, like, even from past relationships or imagined times of lack of trust where I've completely got it wrong, it's just really hard to know what to do if one of you has made a series of mistakes and broken the trust. I mean, it's not something that you learn about at school. It's not even something you learn, you know, from growing up in relationships, like seeing your parents' marriage and things like that. You just don't come across it. So it's really, really hard to know what to do to rebuild it. And so I think that's why so many people kind of struggle with it if there has been that breach. And it has to be, you know, it has to be quite a few times that it happens before, you know, it starts to suck at that threshold. So the common assumption with a broken trust is that one of the partners had an affair, but trust can be broken in lots of ways, like repeatedly covering up an addiction, repeatedly covering up anything that someone is ashamed of, repeatedly going behind someone's back, repeatedly responding in the same negative way to a particular situation over and over again, repeatedly saying one thing but doing another, or doing nothing, or repeatedly promising to stop doing whatever they're doing and then repeatedly going back to it. You know, like I guess the key word here is repeatedly doing something that's negatively affecting the relationship, and that breaks trust. Trust that somebody will get past it. Trust that somebody will be able to recover from it. So the question is, what is it going to take to stop this pattern? Because it's, you know, again, something that we just, what the heck do you do? It just seems like such a massive thing to a relationship. And, you know, a lot of people that are kind of the one that's been, you know, had the trust betrayed, you know, like the heart is just so sensitive. They, you know, it's a matter of even getting that person to agree to give it a go and to try and rebuild the trust. So it's quite a serious thing. But but just like that, it takes consistency to break trust. It takes consistency to rebuild it. So to build it back up. So for instance, consistently being honest, consistently being open, consistently doing what you say you will. So that's the first step, right? Is being consistent in the other direction, and that goes a long way. But the first thing to do to kind of like create a stop to the pattern and kind of announce the stop to the pattern is to own it. So I'll talk in terms of kind of A and B, right? So there's partner A and partner B. So partner A is the one that's broken the trust, and partner A is going to be having to get good at saying sorry for a start, right? Saying sorry, I've broken your trust for whatever reason. And there is an episode, I think it's number 3, which is called Saying Sorry Like a Boss. Saying Sorry Like a Boss. And I encourage you to check that one out. It's really awesome. And, you know, it's not about feeling like a doormat when you're saying sorry, but saying sorry in a way that you're going to use to restore a relationship. And it's important to remember, like, the partner A is not going to be blaming others. They're going to be owning it. They're going to be figuring out, you know, trying to figure out why they did it. And you know, maybe there's a problem that needs solving, and so solve it. And I have done that two-part episode on problem solving a few episodes back. So again, check that out. So that's number one, owning it. Number two, a turning point is the first step, saying sorry. But then there's that commitment. You've got to make, partner A needs to make a commitment to partner B to a new way of being. And in, just like in wedding ceremonies, a commitment needs to be made publicly in some way for it to be more effective. So, you know, publicly, but not publicly to everyone, but publicly to a spouse, like actually saying, you know, I'm going to commit to turning this around, and make sure that partner A is making those promises, being certain that they are going to keep them. So that's number two, is making a commitment. So first owning it, and then making a commitment in front of partner B that they're going to change. Part three would be to start getting into a pattern of consistency. So start keeping on doing the consistent thing in the opposite direction. Again, so consistently being honest, being open, doing what you say you're going to do, or whatever the opposite is of what you're doing. So let's say partner A was consistently being unloving towards their partner. And, you know, that is one way of breaking down trust, because if you're consistently not, I guess, showing that you are keen to be in a relationship with the other person and doing things that maybe makes them think that you're not, then even that breaks their trust. And so partner B will start to not trust that partner A will ever, you know, love them or act in a loving way again. So it's still a breakdown of trust. Or that, you know, another example that we've seen is a partner that didn't deal well with, I guess, certain large events in life and would always kind of take off consistently. And then, you know, so if partner A is going to change, then they need to consistently be there for those big events. And the fourth one is initiative. And this one is really big. So If partner A has betrayed partner B, partner A cannot rely on partner B to hold them accountable. So, you know, it's not about saying, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, and could you please just, you know, check in with me and ask how I'm doing and make sure that, you know, you ask me. And because it has to be partner A who's taking that initiative and involving partner B in all of the things that they're doing right. Because, like, if partner B is then held accountable for it, then it does not foster in them confidence that partner A is not going to do it again. If they can't even be, even if they can't even take responsibility for it themselves, then, you know, how easy is it going to be for them to just slip back in? And then it puts that responsibility on partner B. If they do slip back into it, that partner B didn't do enough, you know, to stop partner A from going back into it. So it's really important, really, really important to take initiative. So if the lack of trust, the breakdown of trust has been about lying, then start proving that you're being honest all the time, even not when you're asked. If the lack of trust was about not being open, then kind of give partner B access to, you know, phone passwords and everything so that they can check whenever they like and feel that they can regain that trust. And then if A was going behind B's back, then proactively update them as regularly as B needs to be updated. So a factor here in this initiative part is to ask partner B what they need in terms of feeling like that trust is going to be rebuilt, and then delivering on that. Just deliver what they've asked for. And it could be that they want to hear back from partner A more often. So setting up a regular review date, taking initiative about setting up a regular review date will also be very helpful. You know, how's it going? How am I doing with delivering on, you know, this commitment? Number five is problem solving. Did I mention a couple of times already about problem solving? So if A is doing some kind of repeat behavior, like lying or cheating or omitting something or leaving B out of decisions or addiction, what is this behavior achieving for them? There's always something that person A is getting out of that behavior, and it's not necessarily logically serving them well. It's often something that happens out of kind of self-defense mode. Like, so if person A is lying, then they are obviously ashamed of the truth. They don't want to tell the truth because it's going to make them look bad or something like that. So lying achieves that sense of retaining their good reputation, which is going to be very important to them, more important than telling the truth, or just more salient than telling the truth. And they just can't tell the truth because it would be so much worse, because it might ruin their reputation. So I guess what I'm trying to illustrate here is that even though it's a bad behavior, if you can understand that it's happening because it's the partner A is subconsciously using it to achieve a certain outcome that kind of fixes the problem for them. So it's important to try and work out, using problem solving techniques, what is going on. Like, if it was that example, like they're lying because they're worried about their reputation, if you're asking these why questions long enough and you really dig down, then that kind of thing will come out. And then it's a matter of looking at that a little bit more objectively and saying, well, you know, if your reputation is important, but you've made this mistake, then actually wouldn't, you know, these kinds of things would actually do better for your reputation instead of lying about it. So problem solving is really, really important, because if you can just get rid of the problem altogether, then that kind of the behavior that's causing this lack of trust doesn't need to happen anymore. This can be quite tricky problem solving, because often person A doesn't really want to say what's going on underneath the surface, but, you know, if they're committed to rebuilding their trust, then it's really important to really investigate what's going on and get that out. Okay, so problem solve, really important as well. So initiative and problem solve, a couple of the really big ones. And number six. Now this one kind of applies across a lot of aspects, but it definitely relates to trust and having that trust between each other. Have you noticed that if you say to if you say to the wife in a relationship that isn't going so well, and you say, does your husband like you, they'll say, yeah, of course. But if you say, does your husband love you? They'll be like, oh, I'm not sure. You know, for someone who's in a troubled relationship. If you ask a husband, does she love you? They'll say, yeah, of course. But if you say, does she like you? They'll say, I'm not sure. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is that a husband, like men, so this is a generalistic thing. So I guess definitely check this with your spouse. But generally, men feel loved when they think that their wife likes them and actually likes spending time with them, likes hanging out with them, tells them that they're awesome, that kind of thing. You know, they respond to feeling like they are liked as a person, as a friend, as company. A wife feels loved when she feels loved, like not just liked for company, but loved, like cherished, like that their husband would lay down their lives for them. You know, so an indifference is you know, strongly connected to a husband not feeling liked or a wife not feeling loved, but we do feel them differently. And so when it comes to making sure that you're rebuilding trust, it's really important to also work on this aspect. So if partner A is the husband, then really working on making their wife feel cherished as their favorite kind of, you know, thing in the world, like opening the doors for her and pampering her and making sure she knows that she's the most important thing in his life. And if partner A is the wife, then it's about wanting to hang out with the husband, going on dates and asking him about his hobbies and going and trying doing hobbies with him that you both enjoy and spending time doing things that he likes, hanging out, laughing, looking in his eyes and making him feel like you think he's really cool. So that is a really cool thing to remember when rebuilding trust, is that that's a really important thing to make them feel like they can trust you, to let them feel loved again. So it's going to be hard. Rebuilding trust is a hard thing. But the reason that it's hard is because the behavior that's broke down the trust over time has been consistent and over a long time. And so it just takes a long time to reverse that trend. And so you just need to be consistent in the other direction, but it can be a long time. And there's always that temptation to go back into the old ways because there's a reason, even if it wasn't a good one, there's a purpose that was served by going into that old behavior that's betrayed the trust. So I would sort of finish with this thing. If partner A, who's been doing the stuff that brings mistrust into the relationship, if they lose the relationship because of it, not only are they kind of stuck with, you know, losing their life companion and all that investment they've made into having a wonderful relationship, because, you know, it takes time to develop that closeness and that intimacy, not only are they going to lose that, but they're also stuck with potentially that negative behavior that they do in a certain situation and lack of self-trust, because if they really look hard, they don't want to be doing it, you know, underneath the surface, but they don't trust themselves to not do it either. So if they can work through it with their current partner, then they win twice. So there's so much reward and so much benefit to be gotten out of working through this. Yes, it'll be hard, but yes, the payoff is so much better than just giving up and leaving. And, you know, it's important to remember that there's definitely a choice of partner B and whether they're willing to go that distance and try. But there's so much for partner A to gain, and so it's really worth trying really, really hard to rebuild that trust and do some of these techniques, plus all the other complications and costs of divorce, which is just, you know, astronomical, especially if there are kids involved. So, but if A takes initiative, puts in the effort, rebuilding that trust, they can both move past that behavior that they're ashamed of and keep a potentially healthy relationship that they've invested in over time and developed a rich closeness. You know, something that they can come through together that's hard, come out the other side being more close, being more intimate, and having just such a more richer relationship. Now, thank you for bearing with me on that one. Quite a heavy topic, but I think just so many people need help with that. And so I just wanted to share those strategies, and I really hope that that those are going to help some people, and, you know, maybe even help some people not get too far into a situation where there's a trust that's building. But, you know, switch that consistent behavior down in one direction and switch it back up in the other direction, you know, a consistent behavior that reinforces a good relationship and a healthy relationship and a successful and a happy relationship. So be encouraged, be blessed. I hope you have an awesome week. I'll catch you next week. Ka kite.